What is up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, Louis DiBiase, joining you on this Thursday edition of the show, just 4 days away. Let's see, well, after today, depending on when you're listening, probably 4 days away from the Monday night showdown with the Washington Redskins, the 6-5 Redskins against the 5-6 Eagles. Dallas plays tonight against the New Orleans Saints. They could be 6-6 as well, heading into the weekend. So the Eagles, they have their destiny in their hands with a win. They can be in a three-way tie in the NFC East at 6-6 with Dallas next week. It's crazy considering this Eagles team is 5-6, and if you told us in the summer that the Eagles would be 5-6, I would have thought you were crazy. It's been that disappointing of a season, but yet, despite all of that, despite the injuries and the lack of execution, inconsistently, talk about inconsistency, the coaching staff has been inconsistent all year. All of the bad things that have happened to this Birds team in 2018, which we really did not expect, despite all of it, with a couple wins these next 2 weeks against NFC East teams that still on paper and on the field look inferior to the Eagles when the Eagles have it all together, a couple wins against those teams, which were expected heading into the season, and the Eagles are back in first place in the NFC East, and thank God the NFC East this year is kind of like the NFC East. I guess if the Eagles were going to pick 1 year to be disappointing, this year would be the one to do it. Coming up on the show today, we're going to get into some injury news, as Doug Peterson said some interesting stuff about the defensive side injury-wise, a few notes from offensive players coming back to practice today that potentially could play in the Monday Night Football battle at Lincoln Financial Field. The Eagles need a big win from the New Orleans Saints tonight. Hopefully they can do to the Cowboys what they did to the Eagles just a couple weeks ago at the Superdome. And then also, it's interesting to see these two teams, the Eagles and the Redskins, battle it out in a probably the biggest game of the season for both teams up to this point. It's crazy because it's kind of been a mixed bag when the Eagles and Redskins play over the past, 8 years, really? 8-9 years. I feel like they've kind of taken turns dominating each other, being the better team. It's the Eagles and Redskins, you know, obviously the Cowboys is the big rivalry that Eagles fans and Eagles media likes to talk about, but the Eagles and Washington have had some very important games in the past decade that have had playoff implications, that have caused different regime changes within both front offices and coaching staffs, quarterbacks. A lot of different quarterbacks have played in this, so that's what we're going to get into in the third segment. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, Thursday edition, again, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So getting into some injuries, guys. On the defensive side, Nigel Bradham has a broken thumb. He had surgery on it this week. He does have a club on it, which was spotted at practice today. He is expected to play, which is big considering Jordan Hicks, Doug Peterson said today when updating the media on injuries. He basically said Jordan Hicks is the farthest one away of any players that we're talking about on a week-to-week basis. Darren Sproles was a limited participant. Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas, both limited participants. Jalen Mills and Avante Maddox, they seem like, with Jordan Hicks, they are farther back from playing. It doesn't seem like Monday Night Football is going to be in the cards for those guys. But to start with Nigel Bradham, I thought he had a bounce-back game last week calling the defense as Jordan Hicks went down. Kamu Grugier-Hill was huge as well, but I don't want to rely on just Kamu, especially with Jordan Reed coming into town at linebacker. With Nate Geary as well, he kind of struggled. You need Nigel Bradham in, and he's going to give it a go, a tough, tough-minded guy that's going to give it a go for his team despite having a club on his arm, because they need him. I mean, this team is down to, look, last week they were down to their 5th, 6th, and 7th string cornerbacks. They were down to Corey Graham at safety with Malcolm Jenkins. Jordan Hicks was down, so they were playing Kamu and Nate Geary. If Nigel Bradham goes down as well, you're going to need this defensive line to have like 10 sacks. So hopefully Bradham, despite having only really one good hand, Camus got another good hand. So you got, like Gino said yesterday, they've got one complete set of hands at linebacker, but Bradham should still be a force against the run. It'll just be good to have him out there for communication. You know, you see him during the play and pre-snap, get his guys lined up. Just having him out there from a vocal presence and a leadership perspective will be big for him, for the Eagles. And I think he's not going to be able to probably catch an interception with two hands, but the Eagles really haven't got a lot of interceptions all year anyway. So getting Bradham out there, just having him on the field, is going to be big for the Eagles, and it looks like they will have him out there. As for Darren Sproles, again, a limited participant, Doug Peterson says he really wants to get out on the field. We'll see. Maybe it's not going to be this week, but the next couple weeks, getting Sproles, I kind of have mixed feelings on Sproles coming back to the offense. I think just in general, coming back to the team, it's going to be nice to have him back on punt returns because the Eagles have struggled with that. DeAndre Carter, they waived, thinking Sproles was going to come back. Carter gets picked up by Houston, so the Eagles were kind of shuffling who they were using as punt returners. Corey Clement tried it earlier in the year. Remember that Colts game? He dropped like four punt returns that went to the ground. Luckily, there were no fumble recoveries by the Colts. And then Golden Tate has been doing it the past couple weeks, and last week was pretty brutal from Golden Tate in punt returns. It was not something that is sustainable for me. I think you don't want to get Golden Tate hurt because they expect him to be a big part of this offense on the final five games of the season. So getting Darren Sproles back there, he's one of the best punt returners of all time. That would be nice. However, I don't want them to overuse him like they did week one against the Falcons when you have Josh Adams playing the way he has, playing so efficient. Doug Peterson finally pretty much naming him the starter, although Deuce Staley wouldn't go that far. Doug Peterson did, I mean, they both pretty much said, look, Adams has got the hot hand and he's going to get the majority of the work. But then Corey Clement as well, I don't want to knock off his rhythm. I thought that was a great building block game against the Giants for Clement. I thought he was really good on third downs. Pass protection, he's been good all year long, but he was running fast. He was hitting the correct holes. He was good in the screen game. I want to keep Corey Clement going because he's the perfect change of pace back for Josh Adams on third down, especially with, again, how good of a pass blocker he is. I feel like I don't want Sproles to come in and shake up that rhythm. Obviously, you still want to use him as a weapon on offense, considering they don't have a lot of run after the catch weapons on this offense. That's why they brought in Golden Tate. But again, the Eagles always seem to overuse and over-rely on Darren Sproles since he's come here in 2014. I'm kind of hoping that they use him on a limited basis when he comes back. Because again, he's, what, 34, 35 years old. He's up there in age. This is probably going to be his last season in the NFL playing, unless the injuries motivates him to play one more year. But regardless, you can't overuse him. You got to use him more as a gadget player on special teams specifically, where the Eagles need the most help from Sproles. For the cornerbacks, Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas coming back. Like, if you look between Mills, Maddox, Jones, and Douglas, probably of the four, you wanted Mills and Maddox to come back before Jones and Douglas. But it looks like it's going to be the opposite. Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas both could play on Monday night. I feel like Douglas is more likely than Jones. But regardless, I feel like the Eagles should get at least one or two corners back this week, which could allow, you know, I think Cravion LeBlanc's going to stay inside since Maddox isn't coming back. It could be Sidney Jones, Douglas, and LeBlanc. It could be Douglas, LeBlanc, and Bosby, or Chandon Sullivan. Who knows, but it is a good sign that Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones were on the practice field today. Sidney Jones has kind of been the forgotten man again in the secondary because, like last year where he didn't play up until Week 17, he's been injured for a big chunk of the season. He started as the slot corner the first six games of the season, and he played really well. He made you forget about Patrick Robinson, who was one of the best slot corners in football last year for the Eagles. But Sidney Jones hasn't made the splash plays yet, but he was fundamentally sound. He was making some nice plays. I really liked the game, his last game he played before the Saints game, of course, against the Giants, where he got hurt. I thought he was playing great press coverage inside, good in the red zone. Sidney Jones outside, I mean, the Saints game, he was a bad tackler. They targeted him coming off that injury, the hamstring injury that he re-aggravated. But before that, Sidney Jones was a sound tackler. And that's a big part of getting him back, is that you want Sidney Jones hopefully to set that edge where Bosby and Sullivan could not bring Saquon Barkley and those Giants running backs, Wayne Gallman as well, down last week. So getting Sidney Jones back, getting Rasul Douglas back is big, because as much as people want to make Rasul Douglas the next Jalen Mills, he is a big step up from Chandon Sullivan and Devontae Bosby. Even if he's going to struggle in coverage a lot, he's the guy that can make that big, you know, game-changing interception that Malcolm Jenkins had last week. But before last week, the Eagles' defense wasn't coming up with those plays. So hopefully Douglas and Sidney Jones can provide a nice, needed boost to a depleted Eagles secondary. And again, for Mills and Maddox, looks like they could be farther back. I really do hope Maddox and Mills get back soon, because with Darby out for the year, they're your safest bets to be reliable in the secondary all year long next to Malcolm Jenkins. Let's take a break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we're going to get into this matchup between the Saints and the Cowboys tonight. Yeah, seems like a long time, but the Eagles have to root against an NFC East team this year because that's the situation they're in order to make the playoffs. Feels kind of strange considering what they did last year. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. This episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat that can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that really loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat heated products that fit everyone's budget, starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20% off. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to the second segment of this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. I'm getting those pregame nerves, guys, already, and it's only Thursday, and we got a couple more days until the Eagles play the Skins, but this is a big game. I mean, I'm getting the playoff feels like I did last year against the Falcons, against the Vikings, and then, of course, in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, because this is a huge game for the Eagles. Look, they got to win these division games. I've been using the playoff machine on ESPN for the past couple weeks now to see how the Eagles can still get into the playoffs. And really, any scenario, there's so many different ways that things can go differently, you know. But any way I found to get the Eagles into the postseason, even at 8-8, resulted in the Eagles winning these three division matchups between Washington this week, Dallas next week, and then Washington in Week 17. And it starts tonight with Saints at Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. This is a big one for the Eagles. It really is. And again, it's been a long time since we've had to root against an NFC East team for the Eagles to get into the playoffs, right? I mean, last year, the Eagles were so good that we didn't have to worry about it, which is what we thought was going to be the case this year. So we didn't really expect to have to cheer against Dallas and Washington and New York. None of the teams really in this division outside of the Eagles were hyped up by the national media or really scared any Eagles members of the media, fans out there. No one seemed like those three teams were a threat to the Birds, but here we are. And even in 2016, we didn't really expect the Eagles to make the playoffs in the second half of the season, so you got to go all the way back to 2015, Chip Kelly's final year with Sam Bradford and against Washington. I mean, those were the times where we had to start cracking out the playoff machine. I mean, again, it's been a long time since I've used this thing, but again, it starts tonight. The Eagles really need the Saints to come through and continue to dominate the NFL like they have. I mean, please, just do to the Cowboys what you did to the Eagles just 2 weeks ago. It's going to be a little bit tougher because it is on the road at Dallas, but the Saints, the Cowboys have a respected defense. They have a good defense, good linebackers, good pass rush, an underrated secondary. But you look at the Saints' offense and how well Drew Brees is playing with Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas. You should still expect the Saints to get this W. And the good thing for Eagles fans, too, out there that might be a little bit nervous about this game, because Thursday Night Football, it can be weird. It's on the road. The Cowboys are hot right now. You never know. But the good thing is, from the Cowboys' offense and the Saints' defensive perspective, is that the Saints are a top rushing defense. And if they can stop Ezekiel Elliott and make Dak Prescott go toe-to-toe with Drew Brees, who, look, he's going to get his. The Cowboys' defense, they might be able to make some plays, some turnovers on Drew Brees, although Drew Brees has only got one interception so far this season. If they do, though, and the defense is limiting the Saints to what, you know, under 40 points like the Eagles could not do just a couple weeks ago, still, you're going to need Dak Prescott to outscore Drew Brees, and I don't see that happening. They got to contain Ezekiel Elliott. That is the key here for the Saints. Marshon Lattimore against Amari Cooper is going to be an interesting matchup, but yeah, it's in Dallas, but I'm still feeling confident about the Saints winning that game. Hypothetically, if the Cowboys were to win this game, I still did the playoff machine, and it's still not, I mean, it would be, I feel like a lot of people would be nervous because, I mean, obviously the Eagles would need to win on Monday night or you're two games back, but the Eagles could still, say Dallas beats the Saints tonight, the Eagles could take care of business on Monday Night Football against Washington. Then if they beat Dallas next week, week 14, they would be right ahead of Dallas. They'd be right with them. and the Eagles would be looking really good. They could still, I still got the Eagles in the playoffs at 9-7 at the 4 seed with Dallas winning this football game against the Saints. Because if they lose to the Eagles, again, the Eagles have to win their division matchups, then really all the Eagles need to do to get into the East is win against Houston, win against the Cowboys. So you got to win, obviously, week 14, you got to win that game against the Cowboys, you got to beat Houston week 16, and you got to beat Washington week 17. And then it's looking pretty good. You don't have to beat the Rams week 15, which on the road, not a lot of people expect considering how good the Rams are. What you do to get into the playoffs there is Dallas is going to have to lose at least one game between their matchups with the Colts on the road, against the Buccaneers at home, and then on the road against the New York Giants. They got to lose one of those games with the Eagles taking care of business against Dallas and Washington, and then getting one win between the Rams and Houston, which does sound like a lot, but it really is not a crazy scenario. The Eagles, again, they have to win these division games anyway, and you should expect them to. You should expect them to beat the Cowboys and not get swept by Dallas this year, and they should beat Colt McCoy twice. And then after that, you need Dak Prescott to lose to Andrew Luck, Tampa Bay, or the Giants. In the NFC East, it's always tougher games within the division. It's on the road in New York, Week 17. I don't think Dallas is going to go 3-0 in that, especially with how good Andrew Luck and the Colts are playing on the road. The Cowboys should not be favorites Week 15. And like that, you get the Eagles in the playoffs at 9-7. With a loss today, Dallas, it would be easier for the Eagles. They could even get in at 8-8. 8-8 could still get in. You would need two losses for the Cowboys. Well, I mean, the Saints would count as one. And then you would need one loss, again, in those three matchups we talked about between the Cowboys and the Colts, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers, and then the Cowboys and the Giants. And then really with Washington, you just need them to lose once against Tennessee, Jacksonville, and New York. And those don't seem like really tough games for the Redskins, but, I mean, I feel like Washington is in the same tier as really the Giants. I mean, maybe I'm being a little bit disrespectful by putting them in the same tier as the Giants, but again, it's a division opponent. It'd be a tough one for them. Against Jacksonville on the road, that's going to be a defensive battle. And then against the Titans on the road, there's no way Washington sweeps that. And then, of course, they would have to lose both games to the Eagles. So again, everything starts with and ends with the Eagles winning their division matchups. But every scenario I've been laying out, I'm seeing it and I'm thinking, man, it's going to be tough if this Eagles team doesn't make the playoffs. It's going to be kind of embarrassing because the path is clear. It's set. But it starts tonight with a win for the Saints against Dallas. I've never been a bigger Saints fan than tonight. And it's uncharted territory for me cheering against the NFC East again, because we haven't really had to do that in 3-4 years. Let's take a quick break here and we'll wrap up the show. We're going to get into this Eagles-Skins history in the past 10 years, how regimes have changed, how these teams have kind of went back and forth being the contenders, playing in big matchups. It's a very interesting rivalry that kind of gets swept under the rug, like most NFC East rivalries that aren't Dallas, Philadelphia, and really Dallas and New York. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles as we wrap up the show. You know, it's kind of interesting. The Eagles and the Redskins have been a mixed bag over the, really, since, I'll go back to 2009. Really, after the end of the McNabb era, the Eagles and the Redskins have kind of went back and forth with which teams have owned the other one and which teams have been the playoff contenders. And there's been so many different quarterbacks that I can think of that have started in these matchups. You know, Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Sam Bradford, Mark Sanchez was in on one of them, RG3 for the Redskins, Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy. I mean, you go down the line. There's been a lot of change with both of these teams. I mean, really with the Eagles, they owned Washington in 2009 and in 2010. It's the 8-year anniversary of the Monday Night Massacre, where Michael Vick and the Eagles offense scored 7 touchdowns in Washington against Donovan McNabb and the Redskins, which was, outside of last year winning the Super Bowl, that was probably the best butt-whooping I've seen watching a sporting event. And it was also the most fun I've had watching an Eagles game growing up, because the Eagles offense could not be stopped, and it was on the road, on primetime football. That was one of the most memorable moments of my young Eagles career, or young Eagles fandom career, I guess you could say, and I guess that dates my age, only 21 years old, but I was pretty young still back then. I was only 13 years old. So in 2010, the Eagles really took care of business against Washington, and then, you know, the dream team years come, and it was kind of a nightmare with 2012 and 2013, and that was for Washington kind of a little bit of a rejuvenation as a playoff team, as they drafted RG3 second overall. And remember, RG3 won Rookie of the Year in 2012, and they made the playoffs, and they were beating up on a 4-12 Eagles team that was starting a rookie Nick Foles. So I remember those games. I mean, then Washington was the team on top, and the Eagles were kind of going through a little bit of a rebuild, and then they hire Chip Kelly, and, you know, we talked about the Monday Night Massacre in 2010, but there was a similar one in 2013, week one at Washington. It was all about RG3 returning after tearing his ACL in the playoff game against Seattle. But then here comes Chip Kelly in this innovative new no-huddle offense, rushing to the line of scrimmage, and Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, and DeSean Jackson just destroyed Washington, and RG3 had a bad game. So, and then it was the Eagles winning the East in 2013. Then it was when DeSean Jackson left after Chip Kelly cut him. Remember, we could not take care of business against Washington for a couple years. DeSean Jackson owned the Eagles. So did Kirk Cousins. They beat up on him. Remember, Washington ended the Eagles season 2 years in a row. In 2014, week 16, DeSean and Washington took down the Eagles 27-24, which pretty much ended the Eagles season at 10-6. If they would have won that football game at 11-5, they would have made the playoffs. And then the year later in 2015, which not a lot of people remember is the Eagles being in the hunt for the playoffs, but if they win that week 16 game against Washington, they are right there in the NFC East race. So Washington, DeSean Jackson specifically, and Kirk Cousins took out the Eagles in back-to-back years, which made me hate Washington almost as much, if not more, than Dallas. And then last year, the Eagles get back to prominence, taking down Washington both times. They swept them. They beat them week one on the road. And then I was at the game. It was my first game ever at Lincoln Financial Field for a regular season game where Carson Wentz and the Eagles destroyed the Redskins on Monday Night Football. So the Eagles have had success against Washington on Monday nights. Hopefully that trend can continue this week because the Eagles need this win. It's going to be really tough for them to get into the postseason without it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, partnered with the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you to our sponsors, Action Heat. We'll be back tomorrow with our crossover edition with Locked On Redskins. So that's going to do it for myself. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Make sure to tune in every day as we are a weekly, daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Follow our Twitter accounts at Locked On Birds, at DiBiaseLOE, and my co-host Gino Camilleri at Gino_LOE. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds!